Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey guys, Laura here. Welcome to part two of our four-part series on educating our children and the gospel. If you missed it, last week, Emily and I kicked it off with an overall discussion about education. Since we're on the front end of making the choice for our own children, we chatted through all the emotions that come with a decision and the freedom that we can find in the gospel for individual families to come to different conclusions on this decision. Today, we'll be talking with Melissa Kruger, who is using private education for her children, and she'll be sharing how God uniquely led her family to educate her children in this way. Melissa serves on staff as women's ministry coordinator at her church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she's the author of multiple books. One of them is a devotional that we often recommend at Risen Motherhood, Walking with God in the Season of Motherhood. Her newest book, In All Things, a 9-week devotional on unshakable joy, releases later this year. She blogs for the Gospel Coalition at Wits End, and you can follow her on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All of those will be linked in the show notes for this week. In addition, I just want to make sure all of you know about our landing page at risenmotherhood.com/education. This will be a special spot designated on our site for all our education resources. We know this is a big, important topic, so we wanted to make it easy to find everything. There you'll find the links to all of the interviews as we have them available, all the extra resources and tools that we found helpful, and the questionnaire document that we've developed, which is a document that you can use with your family to help serve as a springboard of things to think about as you and your family consider the decision of how to educate your child. Okay, now it's time for the interview. Here is Melissa, Emily, and me. Well, hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining us today on Risen Motherhood.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are really happy to have you here. Can you just start off by telling us a bit about your family, kind of what your typical day looks like? And of course, on Risen Motherhood, we always love learning about your kiddos too.
Great, great. Yes, I am a mom to three kids. I have a 17-year-old daughter, which sounds terrible to say. I can't believe she's that old. And I have a 14-year-old son and then an 11-year-old daughter as well. So we're in fifth, eighth, and I have a junior in high school right now. So we're kind of in that tween and teen years. And I love these years. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. And then my husband is Mike, and he is a professor of New Testament at Reformed Theological Seminary. And I spend my days, I work for my church, Uptown Church, and I also work for a ministry called the Gospel Coalition, and I edit for them. And those are the things we're busy doing all day.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. We are so excited to hear more about that season of life too. I feel like it's a different world that we're not in yet.
Oh, we're looking forward to that world.
I think it's a great stage. So
I like hearing that.
I know. That's so encouraging.
I loved it. I just remember the young years, and I love the young years when I was in them with my kids, but they are hard. There's just day after day after day of a lot of needs. And so it's nice to, you know, just have some different type of work now, which is, both were good, but I've enjoyed the teen years. I like talking to my kids.
Oh, love hearing that. I know. I like talking to my kids too when they learn to talk back.
Yeah. And I want to talk to them about things other than like, where are your shoes? Yeah. Can you please go find those? I want to have different conversations. That's encouraging.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Melissa, we wanted to have you on the show today to talk a little bit about your choice to privately educate your children. So we know that you've been doing that for a while. Can you walk us through a little bit how long your kids have been in the private schooling system and then why you chose to educate them in that way?
Yeah, we actually, it is surprising to me. We have been in the private school system from the very beginning. So my oldest, when she was 5, we started her at a great school here in Charlotte. I'll be honest, it was much to my surprise. I grew up public school all the way, and I even taught in public high school, and I loved getting to do that. And so when we moved to Charlotte, we just had researched different choices, and we went to visit the school that we ended up at, and we just fell in love with what they were doing in the school. It reinforced everything we were doing in the home, and so that was a real positive thing to us. But one other big factor for us was it was just so much smaller. I, just as an educator, had always been a fan of small classroom sizes, and so that was one of the benefits. But we definitely, even as we made the choice that first year, we viewed it as a, we will take this year by year as to what we will choose. So we were open to all the options. And it has just turned out that year by year, we have stayed in the same place. And we've been very thankful to be there.
I love what you're sharing. We have just dipped a toe in the education world with our oldest here in early kindergarten. And we have been a little bit in private school, and we've experienced some of the same things of just seeing the reinforcement of what we're doing at home and the very small class sizes. So it is kind of a neat feature of some private schools, but I like how you shared that it is year by year. Yes. I am just amazed, like even what we set out and planned to do when our kids were born or when they were 2 years old or whatever we had planned, it just changes every year.
Yes.
every plan changes every year. And so that's just really encouraging to hear you guys are still evaluating that. And there's different factors to consider as time goes on.
Yes.
Yeah. So along with that, you know, we wanted to have you on too, to talk a little bit about that freedom in our decision. I know, as Emily said, we're dipping our toes. We're right on the precipice. Both of us have really making some longer term schooling decisions for our kids. But can you just talk us through the gospel and how and why we as Christian parents do have freedom to be able to make the choice? Because it can feel so hard, and it just feels like your whole life rides on this decision. Your child's life rides on this decision, and it's going to be so defining. And so, what comfort can we get from the gospel?
Yes, I think what I like to tell parents is you are the biggest influencer of your child's education, which can actually be terrifying, maybe, depending on how you feel about your parenting that
yes.
day. But it is helpful to remember whatever school option you pick, if you are in a public school or if you're homeschooling, if you're in private Christian school or just private school. I mean, there are a lot of private schools out there that aren't Christian in their emphasis. They will be influenced by whatever teacher they have these different years at school. But what I see over and over and over is that the defining factor in our children is the feel of the home that they are in every day. So the habits that we create in the home are teaching our children much more than they are actually learning in the school system, is what we have seen. So you can have, we're at a private Christian school, and there are a lot of different ways people are viewing faith, even in this situation. And a lot of that has to do with what's going on in the home. And I think that this is where that passage in Deuteronomy is so important. You know, when Moses is talking to the Israelites and he's saying, teach them when you're walking along the road, you know, when you're sitting down, when you're standing up. What we're doing in the little moments of our days with our children teach them so much about life and how we respond and how we are prayerful or not prayerful. If we're women of the word, if we're not women of the word, all of those are teaching our children just about life, I think, in deeper ways than we realize. So whatever school option we pick, it's always just good to remember, that no matter where we put them for schooling, we're always the primary educators of them. And I find that pretty hopeful most days, some days maybe not so much, but overall, it's encouraging to know that even if our children are around other people, we are, our habits in the home, what we're teaching them, are the things that over the long haul are really going to teach our children.
Yeah. And so I think that's something that we keep learning over and over again as we've been talking through these issues, Laura and I, like, oh, the culture of the home has a tremendous influence on our kids. And the culture of our home is really formed by the habits of mom and dad and what they're seeing us do. And so I'm just curious, like, when your kiddos are in school kind of all day, what for you guys does it look like to model that walk with Christ when they are at home, you know, for those few hours in the evening before they go to bed or in the morning? Are there a few things you do kind of intentionally to kind of shape them in those hours?
Yes. One of the things that we do, we used to have, you know, family Bible reading time at night. And actually, I'll be honest, my husband would do that. That was my break time. He would go and read them a Bible story or whatever, and they'd talk about it. That time now that they're all in school has actually changed to the morning. So we all sit at the breakfast table. We have a devotional. We have some time to talk about it. And we take time as a family to pray together. And what's been great about that is we have cards for each day. So each day, it's nice having a family of five. Each day we pray for a different person in our family. And then we have a ministry we pray for. We have a leader in our community that we pray for. What's great about that is our kids get to know a little bit about the different missionaries we support. They get to pray for their school. They get to pray for the community of our city and our state and our president. So we're trying to teach those habits again by actually doing it. So I hope when they go off, they'll remember, oh, you don't just pray for your needs. You know, you're supposed to pray for what's going on in your community. You're supposed to pray for missionaries who are far from us and things like that. And again, we've just found example in day-to-day life impacts more than anything else. So I never really sat down with my kids and said, like, you need to read the Bible every day. I mean, I'm sure we maybe said that at some point, but I'll see all of my children choosing to read their Bibles. It's this amazing thing. I don't know. You pray for that for years. And they really do follow our example of what they see our lives being about. And so that's a beautiful thing. My 11-year-old was like, I need a devotional, Mom. I was like, I got to get on it. I guess.
Okay. No problem. No problem. We'll find you that right away.
I'm glad she's holding me accountable to get her devotional. You know?
It's so encouraging too, because no matter what we choose for education method, that's still something we can all do in the home. You know, it's right. Just something that can be universal.
Yeah.
And sometimes people can feel like, oh, if you homeschool, it may be a little bit easier to do that later in your day, but you can still do that, whether you do private school, public school. So I love that.
That's right.
And Melissa, something that I know, just any major life decision, even that we make outside of schooling, a lot of times we just go through a lot of second guessing or anxiety. Maybe you've made the decision, but down the road you're feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm not sure if that was right. Did you ever struggle through guilt over your decision or anxiety over your decision? And then what gospel hope did you kind of preach to yourself in that moment?
Yes. I mean, every time the check or the bill comes in for the school, are we going to be able to do this every year? I mean, because I would say definitely with private Christian education, the reality is there's a very literal cost that you're seeing every month. And you have to say, could this money have gone to missionaries? This is the guilt I feel sometimes. I'm like, better is resources. I mean, that's always a question I think you're asking yourself when it comes to paying for private school. And, you know, so at that point you have to go back and, you know, you really, you look at each other and you say, is this what we want to keep doing? And so you pray about it a lot and then realize that there is freedom to how we do use our money. And we've decided that this is worth it in the end. And that we're so thankful for what they're getting to learn and be a part of there and how it's reinforcing some of the things that we hope for them to love and just to see all of education through the lens of God made the world and God cares about these different subjects. You know, in all of these decisions, I think every mom, I mean, that I talk to in this stage of life, I have good friends who have made every single choice. And some have made every single choice as one individual, public school, and they've done private school, all the different ones. And I think that's the good news of the gospel is we are not, you know, saved by our parenting choice about what school they go to. I mean, so there's just definitely this sense of God can work in their lives in the public school system. I mean, I became a Christian through the public school system, through a ministry at the public school. That's one reason I wanted to go back into the public school. But he can also build up their faith through private Christian education. He can build up the family and the home through homeschooling. So he is at work in all of those places. So I think that's the hope for us as parents, that we can trust he is going to lead and guide us based on numerous factors about where he puts us, and that he has a reason for us to be in whichever place he's placed us. And so I think that's what we hold on to, is that we have a good God who is over all things, and we can trust his leading in our family's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a big encouragement, because, and something you pulled out that I noticed I've done, is we oftentimes too bring our own experiences of school into the equation, which is good in a lot of ways, I think, because we should learn from experience and from the past, but also more than that, we need to trust God with whatever circumstances he's given us and whatever he's leading us to do. That even if we're bringing, I know for me, I sometimes bring like bad memories or experiences into it. And it's like, no, I can trust God that he can work differently, you know, than maybe what experience mm-hmm. I had. But then like you're saying as well, even if we don't get to do exactly what we preferred or how he worked in our situation, like, no, he can work in our children's lives. He's not constrained by our schooling choice, and he's actually sovereign over that. So thanks for bringing that out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I really had a hard time deciding to do private Christian school, because I felt like my faith had grown so much because I was in a public environment. And so it was almost the opposite. You know, I had to learn to be bold in sharing the gospel with people because I was in this large public high school. And I was concerned that my kids would never learn to do that. But what I've loved watching is how every year, all through elementary school, they have missions week at my kids' school. Mm. And every one of my kids has this heart for the nations. My oldest daughter right now is actually working with this ministry, the soccer ministry, and she is with this whole group of young girls from Nepal. And they're here in our city, and she comes back glowing, getting to work with them. So her heart, God has worked on her heart to give her a love for sharing the gospel with people and working with these kids. And it's just wonderful to see. It's him in our children that makes them love sharing the gospel with people. It's not just the experiences we have, which so often we can think, oh, it's because I grew up this way. But that just is how he worked in me. And so he can work differently in them. But yeah, it's tough. Yeah, you always worry about those things as you're parenting.
Well, and with that, Melissa, what would you say to a mom listening, and even her husband? I know a lot of husbands listen to Risen Motherhood, actually, which is pretty cool. Maybe the wives are making them. I'm not really sure. But all that to say, what advice would you offer to two parents or a mom that is thoughtfully and prayerfully wanting to work through the various education options? And how do they really find out what the right fit is? The million-dollar question, right?
Yes, that's right. And I mean, the first thing, obviously, is to pray that the Lord would give you not just wisdom, but also what I like to call kind of divine encounters, that you talk to just the right person at just the right time, that the Lord would guide you in that, that he would just give you really good insight on what's going on. But also, I do think it matters so much for your individual child. As we all know, every child is different, even though they can come from the same two parents. We have three very different children. And so every education choice isn't the same necessarily even for every child. I know friends who have children really gifted in certain musical talents. So they've chosen public school for high school because the kids had more opportunity in the public school than they could at a private school in our situation. And so be open to all the options and really research them as you're thinking through this, and be open-handed before the Lord and willing to do what he might ask you to do that might seem very outside of your box. I know many of my friends homeschooling did not feel like anything they ever thought they would do. And they have found themselves homeschooling and they have loved it, actually. So I've watched different people make choices that were kind of outside of their box. And I feel like they've just been women who I respect so much because they've been open-hearted to what the Lord wanted. And they haven't just said, nope, this is what I want. They've really looked at their child and said, I need to do what's best for my child, not just kind of what I think might be easiest, or I have something to prove by doing either option. I do believe he just directs us in all of those things.
I wonder how many moms out there who are past the decision-making stage, at least the initial decision-making stage, would actually say that they did what they thought they would do with their education choice.
I know. That's a really good question. Because I was even a teacher and I was terrified to homeschool. I ended up homeschooling my kids one semester. We lived overseas in England. So it was just easier because we were, you know, just there for a little time to homeschool them. And I asked my kids afterwards, would you all want to do that again? Nope. Yes, I laugh. I was actually a teacher. It should have been easy. And they were like, we'd really rather go back to school, Mom. I'm like, great. We'll do that.
That's great. So. Well, we really appreciate you being willing to just come on and share from somebody who's much further ahead of us in the process to just offer encouragement and hope. And I know it's the same to many moms who are listening, kind of wringing their hands, wondering what to do and feeling afraid of making the wrong choice, that just we do have freedom in Christ and we can trust God. And more than anything, we can pour into the culture of our home by just walking out an authentic relationship with Christ in front of our kids and living that out day by day. And yeah, just trusting Him. So here I am preaching it to myself as I'm listening. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been awesome. Fun.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Risen Motherhood podcast. We encourage you to check out our webpage, risenmotherhood.com/education. And on that page, we've made it easy to find all our resources on this topic with links to interviews and the education questionnaire, plus tons of additional articles and tools that we've found helpful for our families as we navigate this topic. And of course, we'd love it if you came and found us on social media where you can keep up with the ministry of Risen Motherhood. You'll find us at Risen Motherhood on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for joining us.